Welcome to church. It's so good to be here together. And my name's Evan. If you don't know me, I'm the lead pastor here. And I'm just so glad that you chose to be here. There's a lot of places you could be on a Sunday morning, but you're here. And so welcome here. It's just great to have you. This is our third service of the day, second in Courtney. We've also had our service in Port Alberni, and we'll have one more this evening. It's just been fun. I don't know if you know this. The church is growing. Last week we had 719 people in church. Isn't that cool? That's a lot of people that come to church and come and share in what God is doing. And we just hope that you're touched today as you're here. Just experience Jesus fully. You're so welcome. If you've never been to church, you don't know if you fit. You don't know if you're allowed. You're allowed. We're glad that you're here. And Jesus, we only invite you. We don't do more than Jesus does. We only try to resemble Jesus to you. And so if it looks like we're inviting or welcoming, it's because we look like our Savior. And He is inviting and welcoming to you, drawing you into relationship with Him. So it's awesome. Hey, we're in our third week of a series called Owners. We got a couple more weeks to go. And we've been talking these last few weeks about the idea that this church will thrive, will be at its best, will experience the potential that we're supposed to experience from God when we are all not just showing up and sitting at church, but when we're all sort of owning or taking responsibility for what is happening here. We're on mission. This church is meant to reach people. It's meant to share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. And so the more people who say, I'd like to take a piece of that, I would like to own some of that, I would like to take responsibility for that, the greater strength we're going to have together. And so the first week we said, before you buy a house, you know, you'd need to know what kind of money you have. Need to know what kind of currency you've got. You need to know what type of ability you have to actually buy into that home. And so the very first week, we said, some of you think you're spiritually bankrupt. Like you don't actually know if you have anything to buy in with. And we recognize that when you decide to follow Jesus, all of a sudden you realize, as you submit to His Holy Spirit, that you have spiritual gifts. That there's no one in here who doesn't have something to offer. And what you have to offer is unique to you, and that without you offering your gifts and who you are, we will always be short-handed or short-footed or short-eared or whatever it might be as far as our spiritual body is concerned. The second week after that was last week when we talked about the idea that when you buy a house, you don't just well, just go for it, and away we go, buy whatever shows up. You sort of search the neighborhood, you figure out some things, you consider some things, because you know that this is a massive purchase, and that you're committing not just to the area, not just to the neighborhood, but to also take care of things if things go wrong, if you find surprises in the walls, if you find that you've got a bug problem, whatever it might be, you are committed to it. And so the second week we said, owners commit. Owners commit to this. What's going on here at Northgate is not the only thing that's going on, but here at Northgate, God is going to do the greatest things when the people of Northgate become owners and commit to the work that is going on here. And then this week, we're talking about investing. A few weeks ago, I said, I'm not talking right now about financially investing in what God is doing, but I will be in a few weeks. Well, welcome to a few weeks from then. Here we are, and we're talking about financially contributing, and owners financially contribute to the work of God in the local church. And that's when it usually goes super quiet, like it just did. Because for some reason, actually, it's not for some reason, I get it. Often what happens when a pastor speaks about finances, speaks about giving, speaks about investing, is all of a sudden walls go up or red flags start waving, or we start to think of televangelists, or start to think of, well, they just want my money. That's the only reason they want me here. And all of a sudden things start rising up. We say, I don't want to do that. I'm not sure. And boom, it just happens all of a sudden. I know that. I've heard stories even recently of that taking place in our church. Of saying the church always just wants money. That's all they're all about. And sometimes we have these red flags that go up. And so I hope that by the end of today, that you're going to feel okay about the idea of financially investing, either for yourself or just it's a good concept in general. But I think to start, what I'd like for us to do is pray. to pray that God might shape our hearts. And so would you just, even in a physical way, put your hand on your heart for a moment. So we're going to pray for our hearts. We're going to tell them what to do. Lord, thank you that you know each of our hearts. You know where we're at. Jesus, you also are the provision for the church more than anything else. You are the provision for our lives. You're the provision for the mission of this church. You're the one that can be trusted. And so, Lord, we just tell our hearts right now to settle down, relax. Jesus is still in the room. He still loves us. He still cares for us. No one's trying to steal from us. So, heart, settle down. Be open. Be at ease. There's no manipulation, but allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, when I grew up, I didn't know much about tithing. I didn't know a whole lot about giving to the church. I grew up in church. I was going to church, but tithing was a concept that I didn't really know much about. Tithing's a concept, by the way, that throughout all of Scripture, we see it, Old Testament and New Testament. It's this idea that your first fruits, the first 10% of what you make, whether it's your harvest or in your field or your money, whatever it is, the first 10% goes straight to the storehouse, as sometimes it's called, or the church, or the work of God, or the mission of Jesus. And so that was throughout Scripture. That wasn't something I knew anything about when I was growing up. For me, when I was growing up, what I knew about giving was that, like, if I sat with my grandma at church, if I got closest to her, probably I'd get a Werther's Original to eat. That was usually something I'd get. And then secondly, I'd get to put like 3 dimes and a breath mint in the offering bag. Like, that's what offering was to me. So it was always like, yeah, cool. I give to the church. I get to sit by grandma. I get to put some in. My mom sometimes threw me $1, and we got to put those in. That's awesome. That's really cool. And so that's what giving for me looked like. That's what financial stewardship, financial generosity with the church, that's what it looked like for me when I was a younger person. And then I got married to a holy woman. And I usually handle our finances and manage a lot of that. And so one day when we were fairly newly married, she goes, "Ev, I just want to make sure." Because, look out. I just want to make sure we're tithing, right? I said, "Oh yeah, yeah, of course. Like we like when we have some leftovers, or yeah, at the end of the month, when we have extra, which we never did, we will throw in a few bucks here and there, and it's all good. We do that." She goes, No. I want to know, are we tithing?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm like what? Tell me what you mean by tithing." She's like, "Do we give the first 10% of our finance?" And I'm like, "Absolutely not. Why do you ask that?" You know? And she's like, "No, we need to start tithing. If we want God to honor us, if we want God to provide for us, if we want God to take care of us, we want to handle our finances in the way that He taught us to handle our finances." And so this was a stretch for me to imagine that concept in my life. And there was a lot of reasons that I feel like I had pullback against that. I think probably many people in this room would have very similar pullback to that very thing. A lot of us think, "Well, I worked hard for this, so I deserve it. Hey, I'm the one who put in the 12 or the 14 hours a day. I'm the one who is 6 days a week. I've given up a lot so that I could have these things." The problem logically with that concept is that we say, "I worked so hard and so I deserve a house," or "I worked so hard so I deserve to get this much of budget for clothing," or "I worked so hard so I should get that boat. I worked so hard so I should," whatever it is, fill in the blank. The problem is that breaks down as soon as we look at someone who didn't have the same start as you. So what about the single mom who's dealt with tragedy and trauma in her life, and they say, or the single dad who's wrestled through some things, or the couple who's had trauma in their family and breakdown? What do we say to them when their 12 hours or 14 hours or hard work or their 6 days a week or whatever it might be doesn't add up to a boat or a house or all of the other things? But in fact, what it adds up to is that they just got to put food on the table in a home that they were able to rent. "Go, well, I don't know." "So your hard work." We go, "Well, my hard work got me this." "No, their hard work just got them a meal." Or what about someone in India living in the slums? Say, what is their hard work? Are they? Is it just that they're lazy? Of course not. We wouldn't say that. Some of them are working those 12 and 14 hour days, 7 days a week, and they're pushing hard. And what does that get them? Probably some clean drinking water. You say, well, I've worked hard for what I have. No. Yes, you have, but grace, the grace of God, for whatever reason, chose to set you up in the space that you're in, chose to put you in a country where your health care is covered. The grace of God allowed you to put you in the position that you're in, whether it's really high financial standing or lower. We got to recognize that God has something to do with this, that we can that if we're in a good financial spot, that's not just because of hard work, because hard work doesn't always equal what we've got. And so, well, what is it then? Well, the grace of God, which should probably well up in a little bit of thanksgiving in our hearts. So the second thing that I learned, that I had a hold up in, is that I thought, if I give away my money, I won't have enough. Well, I can't just start with the 10%. If I give 10% away, I won't even have enough for anything else. Like, I'll be 10% short at the end of the month. And Kendall was pretty strong at this. Like, no, we're going to do that. And I mean, instantly, we're sort of rethinking our budget. How do we handle this? Can we do it? What's it going to look like? But I'll tell you that from that day, I mean, we started that way in our own lives. And we started seeing right away, it's miraculous in many ways, that all of a sudden, your money just starts to seem to go further. You know, all of a sudden, the finances that wouldn't have worked before start to work. The groceries that would have cost this seem to all of a sudden cost this. The need for coffee this many times a day seems to be a few fewer. You know, all of a sudden, things just start to shift and change, and the budget just seems to work a little bit better. And for me, I believe in a God of the supernatural. I believe in a God who can do miraculous and amazing things, and not just with supernatural things. It's not just like, well, he's supernatural when it comes to healing, but not when it comes to finance. No, I believe that God's got a supernatural touch for your finance too. That he wants to do something special, but instead we often try to just handle it all logically and practically. God is wanting to release us from that, so we might start to know his way with our finance. I will tell you that we have felt blessed ever since we started trimming off what we keep for ourselves so that we can say, God, we recognize your provision. The third thing I had to wrestle with is my money can't make that big of an impact anyways. My money's not going to do anything for anyone. I barely have any to offer. 10% is like 10% of nothing is nothing. You know, like, how am I going to do? How is anyone going to care if I do anything compared to the millionaire? I can't do hardly anything. Well, here's the great news about that. God doesn't need your money, which means it does. He's not valuing more. Whoa, I got $1 million. Like, God's not like, what can I do with $1 million? This is awesome. You know, he's not sitting there thinking, if I could only get that person to give, because then I would have enough money to do this ministry. That's not how God thinks. He's saying, if only I could give that person to give, because then I'd know they trust me, I'd know they love me, I'd know that I can open up the doors to them a little bit. I know that all of this stuff starts to happen. It's like my kids. I'm just a human dad, by the way. You can know that by my balding. I don't think God's bald, but my kids, a little while ago, I took my son to swimming lessons. And we headed there, and he always wants to, he's always remembering, when we're doing swimming lessons, he's always remembering that after there's those little quarter machines. And like, they've got Skittles in one for Pastor Daniel, they've got M&Ms for Pastor Brian, and they've got gumballs for my son. That's what he loves. He's like hitting up the gumballs. And so I gave him 2 quarters before we went swimming. And just so you know, any money that my kids have came from me or Kendall. Like, it's not like they're out making money anywhere on their own. Like, anything that they have came from us. We are their sole providers for what they can do. And so I gave him some money before we went to swimming. Well, at the end of swimming, he said, Dad, I've got 2 quarters. I'm like, yeah, those are actually my quarters, son. But you know, I have 2 quarters. Like, I really own these things. And he said, so I'm going to get 1 gumball for me and 1 for you. I'm like, here's the MasterCard, son. Do with it whatever you want, you know? Because for me, I'm like, you get it. You know who it came from, but you're giving it away. Or if he does that for one of his siblings, all the more, you know. If he's recognizing, well, all this came from Dad, and so I guess I'll give some to Nola and I can give some to Izzy. Wow, like that's an incredible thing for me. My heart just bursts wide open. It's like if he next time he goes, hey Dad, do you have some money? Yes, you know, I want to bless you. If you're going to use it that way, I can see what it's doing to your heart. I can see what it's doing to the people around you. I can see all the positive that's happening in the life and in and through you. I will empower that action more and more as the dad. Imagine how much more our God would do that for us. When he looks at us and says, what? Oh, you're not enslaved anymore by your money, and you're generous and you're giving it away and you're trusting me. Here's more. See, God doesn't need what we have. He's got a cattle on 1,000 hills, says the Bible. He has more than we could ever give him. So he's not looking and saying, now who's got the most? Let's see if we can get them in the church. Neither is your pastor thinking that. I can promise you that is not my heart. It never will be. If it is, the Lord needs to take me out of ministry. I shouldn't be here. My heart is that God wants to stir our hearts to the point where we'd recognize his goodness in our lives. This is an idea from him. Tithing is an idea from him. Giving is an idea from him because he wants us to trust him. He wants us to help other people. He wants us to push the mission of Jesus forward to glorify his name. And so he gets pretty mad when it's not happening. In Malachi 3, 8 to 12, this is God speaking. This is the last chunk of scripture before Jesus comes in the Bible. And the church that's trying to be developed there, the people of God, is not going well for them. It says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offering, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. This is God's heart, that there may be food in my house, that it doesn't look like in my house, people don't look, come by and see God's house and go, oh, things barely scraping by, that thing's looking pretty run down. He's like, I want it to look good, I want it to look full, I want it to look life-giving in my house, so that there may be food in my house. And then he says a very strange thing, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. That's pretty special. He says, listen, I like that because it doesn't change anything. You sort of go, well, if I do this, what will happen? Well, I'm just not going to make your fruit fall off. Like the same vines that you have are going to be more abundant. You know, the same things that you've got, it's just going to seem to go further and make better. I just love how God does this supernatural work in our financial world. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 15, we have this story, and Paul is telling the story of this generous church and what has happened in this generous church, and I want to share that story with you as well because he says one word in there that I think is so important for us to recognize. It says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace. Grace releases giving. See, when we know what we have that we don't deserve, all of a sudden we're free to give. We're free to give. Freely you have received, now freely give. That's what the Bible says. Freely you have received, now freely give. I want to tell you about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in what? Rich generosity. And you believe that moment? Like imagine you see someone who's walking through severe trial and extreme poverty. What's welling up out of their lives? Not usually rich generosity. So this supernatural thing is happening and Paul's like, I need to tell everyone about this. I need to let you know about what's happening in the Macedonian church. They're facing severe trial, but their overflowing joy and extreme poverty is welling up in rich generosity. Wow. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. Just so you know, If there's ever a point where you're in church and you're feeling manipulated or coerced or anything like that, you need to know that that's not a good heart. That's not what's supposed to be happening. That's not my heart for you. It says they gave it on their own. They just did it. It was just something that worked for them, that made sense for them. See, sometimes we get this sense that I guess I better give, because if I give, then the pastor thinks I should, and the church needs this, and maybe God is poor, and I better help them do this thing and make this thing happen, or whatever we might think. But if it's that you would give, if that's causing you to give, please do not give. Don't give to the church. Don't give to the work of God if it's like, he's making me and I'll just give it. Because all of a sudden, you're going to blame God for your poverty. You're going to blame the church for being in the place that you're in. I would much rather you blame God for the blessings in your life and blame him for the great things and overflowing joy that wells up and generosity in your life. I'd much rather you brag about what God is doing that way than tell everyone how poor he's made you because of how he made you give him money. That's not God's heart at all. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. We're going to skip down a little bit. It says, now I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Wow. Just so you know, that's not my strategy here. For you know the grace. Worship team, you can come on up. You know the grace. You felt the grace. Now, if you say, if you're in a place right now where you don't know the grace of Jesus Christ, then if you were gonna give right now, it would be out of a place of pride. It would be out of a place of not grace. But if you're here and you're standing on the grace of Jesus, Paul is saying, you know what you've been given that you didn't deserve. You know the things that you're holding that you couldn't have grabbed hold of for yourself. You know the financial blessing. You know the things that you're sitting. You know what it is to have salvation in your soul. You know that grace. Will you allow that grace to compel you to live in line with the way that God and the Bible has taught us to live in this way? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. I love that he says that. He's like, no, this isn't about you like trying to give the same amount as the person next to you. That person's in a different situation. They're going to be held accountable by God for what they've got and what they give. Yours is different than theirs. And yet by your means, would you consider what this looks like? For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. What Paul is saying there, he actually draws back to this time in the wilderness that we'd have to go into a lot more. But what he's saying is that I'm not looking for anyone to sort of become poor because of this. I'm not looking for anyone to feel really down because now they gave everything away and now there's these rich people wandering around because of all that they gave to them. He's saying, listen, I want it to look like the reality that all of us give, that all of us are generous, that all of us can feel the joy and the excitement and the provision of God in that way, that all of us are blessed through that generosity to God and through God teaching us how to share and move and do great things, that all the sudden a church like this can come together and start things like the Free Store. This functions 3 days a week and gives people clothing and household goods. That a church like this can start something like the Soup and Sandwich that every single Saturday for the past many years gives out food to people who are needed. This is the type of equality that Paul is calling us to say, why don't you give so that the work of God can continue to be done for those who need it? So I just want to, as your pastor, tell you that I think this is one of the greatest things you could do for your life. And sometimes as a pastor, it's hard to think about the money talk, you know? And yet when I realize what it opens up in my own heart for my kids, I realize what it opens up in their own heart when they are acting in this way, man, why would I be shy to share about that? I want that for you. I want that relationship between you and God. I want you to be in a spot where you trust God enough that you just give him 10%. I want you to be in a place where you trust God enough that he can have 90, 100%. That you'd know what to, you'd be able to trust him, and that I want that for you. I want you to experience that. I want that for me. I've caught little glimpses of that. We've seen little glimmers of that, but I want to experience that full joy. I'm just saying, God, I'm just throwing myself at you and watching how you provide. I want that. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Not out of compulsion, not out of manipulation, not out of anything. But I will tell you that we have created it easy today. If you're thinking, man, I need to jump in on this. I need to get a little bit more faithful in this area, and I want to. I'm excited about what God might do in my life. I'm excited to watch his hand of provision in my life. At thisweek.ngate.ca, we've made it easier for you this week. That you can learn how to do the text in. Yeah, giving. We do, for me, every paycheck that comes out, we go straight away to e-transfer. We've got e-transfer, and you can figure out the way to do it there. And we value that. We like it being easy because everyone else has made it easy for you to give. Stores have made it easy for you to give. You can go easily buy things everywhere else. We want to make it, as the church, easy for you to honor God with your finance, easy for you to step into his economy rather than your economy and discover the blessings that is in Jesus Christ in that area. Not because I'm telling you to, but because something rises up in you that you want to come into alignment with what God has called you to do in this area. Watch what it might mean for your life. I just want to pray for you quickly. Lord, thank you so much that you invited us. You invited us to test you in this because, Lord, your generosity is better and bigger than we can understand. It's more than we can know. It's more than we have experienced. And so, Lord, would you just show us how to step into your world of generosity? Show us how to trust you. Show us how to lean on you. Show us how to believe in you. And God, would you just rise up testimonies in this church of how you're providing in surprising, supernatural, amazing ways to those who are saying, God, I'm going to start the way you've asked me to start. I'm going to start with my first fruits. I'm going to believe in what you're doing. Stir up our hearts, God, not because of a sermon, but because of your Spirit. Teach us your way. In your name we pray. Amen.